Well, hello everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Welcome to It's Time for More Injury Funding Podcast, the podcast for all who want to learn about legal funding and its significance in a personal injury, wrongful death, immigration, medical malpractice, and many other law practice domains. I'm your host, Laura, founder and CEO of More Injury Funding, the legal funding counselors with passion for law, medicine, legal funding, and having heart for all suffering individuals. More Injury Funding is a sponsor, a member associate or business partner of this podcast, Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys, Sandy Springs Bar Association, Georgia Association of Paralegals, Atlanta Legal Aid Society, State Bar of Georgia, and Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. In this episode, we have a very special guest, attorney Karen Barrios. Karen knows that we all have been impacted by personal circumstances that have marked our lives. We witnessed at some point in our lives how the most vulnerable people have become a target for others who benefit from their pain and loss. Karen experienced the horror of abduction at an early age, and this shocking event of her early childhood moved Karen to become an excellent lawyer who is day in and day out committed to helping those who are suffering physically and emotionally by offering a fair and professional legal representation. Karen, welcome to It's Time for More Injury Funding Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be discussing a little bit about my story and hopefully helping others.
Absolutely. So let's start with your current practice of law. Can you tell us how long have you been practicing law and how many locations do you have nowadays?
Yeah, so I've been practicing 10 years. We have currently two locations, one here in Duluth, Georgia, and we have a second office in Augusta, Georgia.
Okay, wonderful. Two locations. You and your husband, George or Jorge Vergas, primarily focuses on the personal injury and immigration law. Why did you choose these particular branches of law? Do you also practice anything else besides these two?
No, so we're very, very decided to really just focus in personal injury and immigration. So we both felt and we both had a passion to really give back to our community. And we feel that personal injury and immigration law make a huge impact on someone's life, either, you know, getting somebody a compensation, fighting for their rights during a car accident or an accident, and also providing people, you know, their status here in the country. So we're both very passionate about this type of laws.
I love it. And how long you've been practicing? You may have mentioned that already.
We've been practicing. It's crazy. 10 years.
10 years already.
Yes. So we've been practicing for 10 years together, actually. And we're excited to keep going.
That's amazing. I love it. So now let's dive directly into our main topic of discussion, your personal early childhood experience of horrific abduction and how, you know, it takes mental strength and work on yourself, you know, with health, with others, maybe, and within yourself to heal, to get better every single day. You're originally from Guatemala, beautiful country surrounded by Mexico, El Salvador, Belize, and Honduras. How old were you when that happened to you?
Yeah, so like you said, I think it takes a lot of strength to deal with trauma, and I love talking about my story to really help others. I was only 10 years old when it happened. Like you said, it was in Guatemala, where I'm from originally. And I was held captive for 13 days, which was, you know, pretty tough. But, you know, I think we talked a little bit about more further into the conversation about how I dealt with it to really help others. I think in our culture, especially, you know, the Latino culture, mental health is not really discussed. You know, people just kind of deal with stuff and just keep going. And I'm a big proponent about really taking care of our mental health and trauma. And like you said, finding professionals sometimes to help us through it, to become the best versions for ourselves, but for those surrounding us. So I'm really excited to talk about this stuff.
That's amazing. And Karen, tell me, how long were you held hostage by these monsters?
Yeah, so it was 13 long days. Mm. Usually what I know now is kidnappings have to be about 3 days top, or people get very anxious. Government starts getting involved, police. Unfortunately, mine was 13 days, which is very long. And, you know, I'll I don't know if you want me to discuss right now how they found me, but it was
Oh,
like
absolutely. Yes,
pretty
please.
much a miracle. Someone called. I was held in a very residential area. So I wasn't held in like a remote area in my country. It was a very nice neighborhood, ironically. And literally someone tipped the cops saying, "This house is very suspicious. I see men coming in and out. I've seen men with guns coming in and out." And the Guatemalan police actually surrounded and did surveillance for about 3 days before going into the home. And it was pretty much like a movie SWAT. They broke windows, went like through the roof down to the house. And I was actually rescued by the government, by the police. So
That's just
very, very
amazing.
lucky to be here.
I was telling my son teenager yesterday I'll be interviewing you, and I told the story and said it does sound like a movie, but it's a horrific story. You don't want to be in that movie.
No.
So when you look back, Karen, can you tell us what was the main reason of your abduction? What do you think? Was it government involved? Was it mafia? Was it anybody besides government and mafia?
Yeah, so in the 1990s, late 1990s, Guatemala and Colombia were the number one in kidnappings. I think Colombia, if I'm not mistaken, it was a lot of political issues. And Guatemala truly was organized crime. So it's just for money, for ransom. And they thought my parents could pay a certain amount and decided to kidnap me.
That's just terrible.
Yeah.
So, how does Guatemalan government usually handle cases of child abduction then and now?
Yeah, what I know, it's very hard to actually find these kids alive. That's why I said it was like a miracle that they actually found me. I was actually the first child to ever be rescued alive in my country.
Wow.
So, my family's case was pretty big in our country. It had coverage for media. It was really big because I was rescued alive. Usually these kids, unfortunately, are found dead or, they never find them, right? So, like I said, I'm very lucky to be here and alive today. And like I said, if my story helps others, that's what it's all about now in my life. But unfortunately, it's very tough in our countries to find these kids when they get kidnapped.
So this type of unimaginable, horrific experience must have left a psychological imprint on you as a victim, life, and I'm sure also your entire family as well. What are those psychological consequences in your personal life? Do you feel them every day, and how do you deal with them?
Yeah, so I always say, that being a victim of a trauma like this that's so intense, you do become like an addict where you do have to work at it constantly and be very aware of the triggers because you're going to have triggers all your life. And this is something I've learned through therapy for the last 15 years. I'm just more aware of my triggers and when they do happen, I have some tools that help me, right? Like, is it meditating? Is it trying to focus on something else at the moment? Gratitude is huge, for whenever we're feeling down, depressed, anxious, like to really start thinking, what are the things that bring joy to my life and what am I grateful for? So I would say, do I know that's going to affect all my life? Yes. And I accept that because I'm a victim of this type of trauma, but I'm really big about how to deal with it. And I always tell people sometimes, life is unfair. And I teach my kids this all the time. Life is not fair, right? Bad things happen to really good people. And sometimes we don't choose what happens to us, but the only thing we have control over is how we respond to those things. What do I do after it happened, right? I didn't choose to be kidnapped. It wasn't my fault. I was 10 years old. But what I had power on was how I respond to it. And it took me a while, obviously. I'm not perfect. It was really hard growing up with a trauma like this. But when I was 20, it became very hard to deal with it. And, I went to depression. I had to deal with it really head on, I would say. And that's when I started getting really into therapy and really working towards this. So I would say, and it's funny because people say, oh my gosh, that's a horrible trauma. That's crazy, right? A lot of people, we don't meet a lot of people who have been kidnapped, but trauma could be anything, and I feel like a lot of times my story is so intense, but I always tell people trauma could be how you grew up. Trauma could be anything that really affects who you are. And I think the courage is dealing with it, to really make the decision of, I really want to deal with this. Let me work at it. And it's really hard. It's very uncomfortable. But that's the courage. That's where we become courageous to deal with stuff like this.
I love it. And since we're now in Thanksgiving and, you know, upcoming Christmas season, you know, we talk about thanks a lot. Where, you know, and you mentioned gratitude. So in my family, we started a tradition when my son was born is, you know, when we sit down around the table and everybody tells what they're grateful for. And it could be prepared. It could be, you know, kids would just sit there, you know, prepare in advance for days, you know, but just whatever comes to your heart. So do you have any tradition in your family? Do you practice it every day? Do you only do it once a year, maybe during the Thanksgiving?
No, I'm really big about, you know, teaching my children, what are you grateful for today? And I try to do this every single day to teach them, hey, give me three things what you're grateful for today. And I think that that's helped me a lot. It's funny because I would get very anxious sometimes, even at work, right? Especially what we do in the law, it's very stressful. And my therapist said, you know, put something on your desk that really anchors you and shows where you're at in the present and what you're grateful for. So I always have a picture of my kids in my desk and my family and my husband. And I feel like that really grounds me. And to be honest with you, I have to do it almost every day to really be grateful for, you know, even waking up, having, you know, this office, this team of being able to have a huge impact on people. So I try my best to practice gratitude daily, not just once a year.
I love it.
But it helps.
And to help with the grounding, I brought you a little gift so you can open that later. Hopefully you enjoy it. It's specifically made for you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Of course. So tell me, Karen, is child abduction very common in Guatemala and other Central American countries?
So back in the 1990s, it was very prominent. I think like kids would get kidnapped daily, like two or three. It was crazy back when I got kidnapped. I think it's kind of slowed down a little bit. I know that right now we're encountering a lot of human trafficking issues, which I'm pretty sure it happens in our countries. But for the ransom part of things, it's kind of slowed down a little bit, thank God.
Thanks God.
And in my country. But obviously we hear horrible stories about kids going missing every single day, and it's not for money. So I'm guessing it's more of the human trafficking side of things, which is another horrible thing. But yes.
And what are the legal consequences of those found guilty of child abduction?
Yeah. So in my country, I don't know if I was lucky. I wouldn't say lucky, but they were able to find eight people responsible for my kidnapping. I actually had to go back to trial a year later. That's when I truly decided to be a lawyer. When I went back to trial and really went, you know, experienced that firsthand to be the victim of a case and to have a lawyer, a solicitor, to really fight for my case. It was amazing to see that. And that's when I made the decision. In my country, it's life in prison for kidnapping.
I love it.
So some people are still serving their sentence.
And so that's this question I was going to ask you next. What happened to those eight you said found guilty in your personal story?
So obviously this was 25 years ago now. Some have passed away, which that's what I know. But some of them, like I said, they're still serving their life sentence.
Is child abduction synonymous to child trafficking in any way?
I mean, I think so. I think it's all the intention of why the child was taken. You know, the abduction part of it sometimes is political, sometimes is money. When it comes to human trafficking, unfortunately, you don't see that child again. There's no intention to negotiate with the family. It's truly taking that child and hopefully finding them later on. But there's no negotiation that happens. There's no call that says, hey, if you give this money, we'll give the child back. Unfortunately, human trafficking, it's horrific because they want the child for other purposes. So it's horrible.
Is that part of the practice at your law firm?
No. So we do a lot of U visas, which means people that have been, you know, a victim of a crime. Some of them have been abduction, to be honest with you. So we've handled those cases. We do a lot of VAWAs, which It's victims who are married to a U.S. citizen, but they're being mistreated. And we've done a few cases where personal injury and immigration go hand in hand. For example, we had a case where there was a robbery in an apartment complex where it went bad. The person got stabbed like 10 times,
goodness.
Was in the hospital for months. They had to redo his intestines. So it ended up being two cases where we sued the apartment complex and he actually got a visa out of it. So we do a lot of cases like that. And to me, I wouldn't say those are the best cases, but for me, I'm really passionate about, you know, even saying hi to these people in my office and connecting and being like, I understand what you're going through. And I think people love that in the sense of like, it's hard to find somebody you connect with those situations. And so I love helping people in those situations.
I love it. Karen, now let's get back to your story.
Yeah.
How were you found and returned to your family when it happened to you?
Yeah, so my country was able to surveillance, like, pretty much figure out that there was nobody in the house except two females that would take care of me. Decided to go in, found me, and they literally didn't even know who I was. They weren't sure who I was. They figure out my name. They figure out who my father was. They figure out I knew my house phone number. They call my dad and said, "We found your daughter." And I mean, it was just like the greatest moment. So my dad came and picked me up and you know, they found one person involved in my kidnapping, and that person I think was able to help, I guess, where the other ones were, and they were able to apprehend, like I said, eight people. My dad literally the next day was here in the U.S. I mean, he was so afraid for our lives that he came to the U.S. and I've been here since.
Have you ever been back?
Yeah. So it took me years. I believe the first time I went back was 12 years later. I was 22 years old when I went back the first time. Didn't have a desire to go throughout those 10 years, to be honest with you. But when I was 22, I went. I went again when my grandmother passed away in 2014. So I've been back a few times.
Okay. Yeah. But you wouldn't go there on vacation?
I don't know yet.
Voluntarily. You're working yourself towards it. Yeah. Okay. So this may be really hard for you, Karen, but can you discuss the process of recovery and rehabilitation since the time you were abducted as a young girl?
Yeah, so we could do a whole podcast about that one.
And we will probably, by the way.
But I think, you know, I think everything works perfectly. And I think from ages 10 to when it happened till I was 20, it really helped me be around my parents in the sense of they use a lot of gratitude and say, oh my gosh, God really took care of you. It's a miracle. And so it was a very positive way of thinking it, of me to be like, okay, yeah, I'm okay. I'm going to keep going. And it really helped me. Like, it got me to my 20s. I got into law school very young. I graduated high school super young. I was 16 years old. So nice. I got into law school when I was like, I think 20.
A baby.
So it got me to that point. And then, you know, at 20, I think you're starting to learn who you are. And it really started affecting me in another way. It took me about a year and a half to really find help. To say, okay, I really need therapy. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why I felt the way I felt. And that's when I met Jorge, my husband. He was my best friend for like a year and a half. And actually, because of his help, I got help. And he said, you know, I think you need therapy. Oh my gosh, what you've been through. And so I started going to therapy. Obviously helped so much. I still go to the same therapist. So I've been going with her for like the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, every time I get triggered, because it happens sometimes, it's like I call her and she like sees me right away.
That's amazing.
But, you know, therapy, I think having and learning the tools you need to overcome those times where it hits, it's very important.
And in case somebody has a question about child abduction or, you know, anybody gets in a car or trekking accident or maybe needs an immigration consultation, how can they reach you and your law firm? Do you have a website, social
yes.
media sources?
So Barrios for Quest is probably the best way to look us up. We're the same way in Instagram and Facebook, just how it's spelled here. I guess it's easier to see it that way. And we're here to help, you know. We're really big about being in our community and helping and being there when they need us.
That's wonderful. Karen, thank you so much again for finding time and talking to me about this very, very sad, horrific experience and, you know, mental health and what it means to be abducted and you know, how about the healing process of it. But before I let you go, I have one fun question.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever had your I've made it moment yet?
Which one? I made it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. I've had... I think so. I think I've had a few.
Okay.
You know, I think having my kids, it's been like I've made it moment
Aww.
For me. Having my family, the husband I have, I really feel like I've made it just there. And I think for me, I'm more of a daily I made it person, not like I've made it in life, because I'm always big about growth and what's next. But daily, I really try to figure out ways to make me feel like we're making it. And you know, in this career, in this field, it's so easy to say that, because when I get the mail and I see five green cards, I'm like, we made it, you know, for this five different
Yay.
Families. When we get a resolution from a car accident, we've made it. So we're actually big here in the office to celebrate. We call it the win wall, where we write all the good things that happen daily and we ring a bell and we celebrate together.
I love
so
it.
So we're really big about, you know, being able to celebrate those made it moments.
I would love to come next time when you ring that bell in advance, please. Thank you again so much, Karen Berrios with Berrios Fergus Attorneys. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for watching and listening to our story today. For more tips and tricks on legal funding and personal injury law related topics, follow me, like, and subscribe at More Injury Funding. And it's time for More Injury Funding podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and all other podcast platforms worldwide. Also, you can find More Injury Funding on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Pinterest, YouTube, Google business profile, and of course, my website at moreinjuryfunding.com. I can't wait to see and hear all of my dear listeners and viewers next time. Until then, be well. Thank you.